Okay, we're starting the top of page Beit Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. It says, Lo Yilameid Adam Ravak, so Gariv. So Ravak over here means someone who has never been married. Right? So a man who's never been married should not be teaching Sofrim. Sofrim are young children. Lo Yilameid Isha Sofrim. As well, here there's no qualification, but a woman should not be teaching young children. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Af Misha in Lo Isha. So this is what Rabbi Elazar adds, that the Tanakam didn't cover in Ravak. The Rabbi Elazar is mentioning that even if he doesn't have a wife, he should not teach young children. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Yirei Avak Behema, that a man who has not been married should not be a roeh, should not be a shepherd or work with animals. Lo Yishanu Shnei Ravakim B'talit Achat. And the two single men should not sleep in a single bed or be proximate to each other. Chachamim Matirim. Chachamim say that there's no issue with this. My time. What's the reasoning behind the fact that a man who is single should not teach children and that a woman should not teach children? If we're worried about the interaction between the teacher and the children, Batanya, we have a braisa that explicitly states that the reason behind the Chachamim, who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, Unechshadu Yisrael al Mishkav Zachor ve'lo al Behema, that in general, Bnei Yisrael are not, we don't suspect them of homosexuality or bestiality. I mean, that's not something that we worry about, or something that there is a large tava for, and therefore, that can't be the reason why we prevent a person from teaching young children. Ella Ravak Mishumam Hata Din Okay Isha Mishum Avata Din Okay. The problem here has to do with the parents of the children. So a single man should not teach the children because of the mothers that come to drop off their children. The mothers come off of the children, right? Then there could be something suspicious that happens in that instance. As well as the other way around, if a woman is the teacher, then we're afraid of Isha. So the over here we worried about the fathers who are coming to drop off their children, and the possibility of them being isolated or some suspicious activity happening between the parents. So we want someone who does not have a lot of ta'ava to be in place. And once they're married, then we don't suspect, we don't have as much of an issue with them being the ones that teach the young children. So now, in general, the Mishnah and over throughout these Mishnah, here we don't worry about the woman's desire necessarily. We worry about the man's ability to seduce the woman and her ability to acquiesce or be a partner to this. So in that case, we're not really worried about a woman teaching the young children with the young children themselves. We're worried about her interaction with the older fathers that come. All right, Rav Lezermar, Af Misha in Loisha, even someone who does not have a wife, Yibailu, Misha in Loisha Klau, the issue that she doesn't have he doesn't have a wife at all, Udumah she in a Shri, so even if he currently has a wife, but she's not living with him currently. So Tashma, Af Misha Ishlo, Ve'in a Shri, Lo Lo Yilamed Sofrim. So we have a memro or price that says that it's even in an instance where he has a wife and she's not currently, you know, living with him. He's away from her, she's away from him. Because of that, according to Yehuda, is already problematic, and therefore we wouldn't let him teach young children. Rav Yehuda Omer, Lo Yireh, Adam with a, we said with Behema, the Ravak Behema, and they shouldn't sleep together, two men, Tanya Amrulo, the Rav Yehuda. This is the statement, the price that we quoted before. Lo Nechon Shadu Yisrael, Mishkam Zachor, V'lo Al Behema. That was the way we passed him, the Chacham's position, that Bnei Yisrael are not nechshav on bestiality and homosexuality, so we're not going to create gedorim in these issues because we don't suspect them of misguiding or being doing things that are wrong in these instances. Right, the next Mishnah, Kol she'asakavi menashim, anybody who works in the field that deals with women's issues, lo yitecheid im anashim, you should not be isolated or alone with the women. Now, there are a number of explanations given to this line in the Mishnah, which has major, major implications of halacha. So Rashi first, who is the biggest makil. Rashi over here says, Lo yitecheidim anashim, afilu im harbe anashim, even with many women. You know, his field of endeavor is something that deals with women's issues. He's a haircutter, he's a woman's clothing. He deals with women all the time. Why? Lefi shelivo gatzbehu, that he feels very comfortable with the women. And because they feel comfortable, they all know him, and they're all friendly with him, they will cover up for something that he does. So because of that, a large number of women is not protective in terms of preventing something from happening. So therefore, he can't. When he's in these fields or endeavors that involve women, then he can't be miyachid even with numerous women. Next line, Rashi, but the ilu isha chrina. What about a normal person? What's the din of a normal person? We saw clearly in the Mishnah before that a man may not be isolated with two women. Right? That's considered to be yichud. Now, what happens if you have more than two women? Right, we discussed this. We brought this up yesterday. I mentioned yesterday's machlokes of Rishonim. Here it is. Rashi says right here that ilu isha chrina ben shtei nashim tnan avalim shlosha arba shafir dami. Rashi says when you have a multitude, or harbe nashim, once you have multiple women, then there's no longer a problem of yichud when it comes to normal men. So a man only has a problem of yichud when it comes to two women. But when it comes to three or four women already, that's considered to be a rabbim. There, either he can't seduce all of them, or not all of them are going to cover up from him. So already there's a deterring factor, or deterrent. And because of that, it's not considered yichud. And the chiddush of this Mishnah is that even with multiple women, if his work is with these women, then libo gospel, and that doesn't even work. There's still yichud with multiple women. That's Rashi's explanation. That turns out to be the biggest kula, because that allows that there will not be yichud with multiple women. With over two, meaning three, four, and above women, as long as the person is a kasher, there won't be any problem of yichud. But on the other hand, Tosos over here says, and he quotes Rashi, and he says that he doesn't think that that's the correct explanation. And the reason is because of the Gemara we learned yesterday, which is Anashim bibifnim, Anashim bechutz. You have men on the inside and women on the outside, and there it sounded like even if you had multiple men on the inside, multiple men on the outside, there's suspicion of the men leaving and being yached with the women on the outside. So because of that, it seems clear that even with multiple women, there's a problem of yichud over here. So Tosa then says, also, well, if that's the case, what's the story with our mission over here? So he says that here, the Isur is that in general, for a man, he can't be miyached with even harbei nashim. Even with multiple women, he cannot be miyached. What's the additional Isur over here? That even in the ishto imo, even if his wife is with him, that's what it says over here, that lo yitiyached in nashim, even if his wife is with him in the instance where he works with women, then we don't allow him to be miyached with multiple women. Even though, so for a normal person, if it's three, four, five women, according to Tosfos, that's still yichud. But if his wife is with him, then ishto v'shamrato. His wife looks over him and watches out for him, and then we don't worry anymore. Whereas here, that even if ishto imo, because of his libo gatzbuhu, whatever his relationship is with these women, that even if his wife is with him, we don't consider him to be mishamrato, that she guards him, and therefore, it will still be considered or classified as yichud.
Okay, but libo gatzbo is only because they will cover for him. But his wife's there, that's an irrelevant sorrow.
Well, maybe because it's his parnoso. But his wife will also maybe cover up or not. You know, if it comes exposed, that'll lose his parnoso. Maybe she won't expose it either. And I don't know what, right, Tosu doesn't explain what his chiddush is, that why ishto imo. He has to come up with something additional that the Mishnah is adding. He throws an ishto imo. What is it about ishto imo that adds here, that is not it's not protecting him. Maybe he's willing to sneak around when his wife is there still. Whatever some deterrent factor has been reduced, right, over here. And again, I agree with you, Tosos does not explain what that is. Now the Mechaber paskins like Tosos, that there's still yichud when you deal with multiple women. The Ramah brings down Yishomrim. The Ramah brings down that there isn't yichud once you get over two women. He quotes that the Shem Latur, the Shem Rashi. Right, that's Shita's Rashi over here. Rashi is the Rishon who says that with multiple women it's not considered yichud. The Rambam, on the other hand, learns this Mishnah differently, totally differently, and he says that the chiddush of this Mishnah is that I would have thought that it's mutar to be a man with a person who's in business or working. It would be mutar for him to be mediachid with multiple women. One, number one, is his parnosa. Number two is because it's in a business environment or setting, we're not suspicious of him doing something because of exactly that. This is his parnasa. I mean, that there is also a mitzvah factor. Some people find out.
Not a familiarity, you could say.
Right, exactly the opposite. Right, that's what the Rambam says, that there's not, it's done in a relationship of distance. It's done in a relationship where when we have this general mirtet, where a person fears for his parnasa. If people find out that there's something suspicious going on, he'll lose his parnasa, and he may not want that to happen. So Rambam says the chiddush of this Mishnah is just the opposite. You would have thought that someone who has a profession with women should be, right, permitted to be miyachet with them. This Mishnah says no. Despite the fact that it's your profession, despite the fact that you have these other mitigating factors, we still say lo yitzyachet. Right? Then you can't be isolated with women. But implicit in the Rambam is clear that with ishachrina comes to someone else, right, then can't be miyachet with multiple women. The only place we thought there was a heter is because his business is with them. And only because we say this Mishnah comes and says, no, that despite that fact, that's the chiddush over here. So again, a lot of Rishonim, most Rishonim, agree with this idea that even with multiple women, there's still a problem of yichud. Rashi is one of the chiddush over here. Again, that will be implicitly from our Mishnah beforehand, which says that lo yichud im shtei nashim. Right? As long as he says two women, the Mishnah says doesn't address three or four. And Rashi says this Mishnah addresses it. Between the two Mishnayot, he comes to the conclusion that multiple women are, right, okay, when it comes to yichud, and again, the Ramah quotes this Rashi. Okay, next long Mishnah here, a lot of exciting Mishnah. It says, "V'lo yilameid adam is b'nel umanut anashim," and the person says, the Mishnah says that a person shouldn't teach his son, right, fields of endeavor that deal with women. Rabbi Meir Omer, "L'olam yilandem lameid adam et b'nel umanut nikia v'kala." This is the Gemara discusses what it is. Person to teach his child a trade that is clean and easy. And then he should just daven to Hashem. Why should umanut aniyut v'ashirut? It has nothing to do with the profession. Every profession has people who are successful and unsuccessful, poor and rich. Shlo aniyut mina umanut, v'lo ashirut mina umanut. That wealth or success and poverty or failure have nothing to do with the field of endeavor. Right, they all have to do elokol lefi zuchutot. Everything is according to his zuchut. So if I, you and I, translate, if I was reading this Mishnah, what would you say zuchuto means? Zuchuto means based on his behavior, the way he acts, right, whatever it is, that will determine his parnasa. I mean, it's chayr and onesh. Right, that has to do with what the success or non-success of a person's parnasa is. Except the Tosfos writes over here three little words, and they turn the whole thing upside down. So it says elokol lefi zuchuto perush lefi mazalot. Nothing to do with Schar and Onish. Has to do with his mazel. Because, he quotes the Gemara in Moed Katan, the Bnei, the Chaye, Umzone, La B'Zchut Italia. Children, how long you live, and your Mizonot, have nothing to do with your own Zchut. Ella B'Mazla Talia Milto. They have to do with, right, the, your destiny, in a sense, that will come, mean that you're born with a certain destiny, and because of whatever that destiny is, that will determine all these other factors, right, that have nothing to do with your zchut. So those was there based on the Gemara Moed Katan, has to translate here the zchuto as meaning mazalot, in that it's something that is already predetermined. If it's predetermined already, what are you davening for? So that's the question. So those has to reconcile again with the Gemara in other places, at the end of Gemara Shabbat, and other places where you say, ain mazal Yisrael. So those was reconciled. In many places, tries to reconcile with this. One is to say, like David's saying over here, that if you daven really hard, there is the ability to change your mazel. I mean, mazel is very difficult to change, but one with a tremendous amount of effort and exertion, possibly, not can, but possibly, can change his mazel. That's the famous story of the Gemara Tanis. Right there, Kadosh Baruch Hu said some person, one of the Marim was poor, and he was davening to Hashem that he should change his mazel, and he says to him, okay, would you like to be born into a different generation or a different time? And there it says, Shema. Maybe things will be better. And he says, forget it. If it's Shema, I'm not going that way. But you see that what, that determination of mazel, right, is something that takes tremendous efforts to overcome the mazel. That's one possibility of explaining it. The other possibility of explaining mazel and zchuto is that mazel is not necessarily predeterminant in the sense that we say that he will be rich, he will be poor, right, all of those things, except that what? That the question is that a person's personality, a person's gifts that he's given to when he's born, right, will, when he exercises those gifts, then the most likely outcome will be such and such. In Not that that is predetermined, but that person's, you know, characteristics and character and personality will generally lead him in that direction. Again, it can be changed with a lot of effort, but that's something that has to overcome his natural tendencies. So that's another way to explain it. The last possibility is to explain the Gemara Nidah says that Arvim Yom, that before a baby is born, right, then there's a determination of this is Zachar and then a Kevah, this person we've married to this person, be rich, and before all those things are determined 4 days before, who can daven? Right, as I was saying, the father of the child or the mother of the child can daven before conception. I mean, that what the determining point is that say 40 days after conception, the parents can daven at the time of conception and can daven before conception, that that determination be different. And that's what the tefillah means over here. That if you want to, you have a chance to change that predetermined to that mazel before that point in time. So if you daven prior to that moment, then you can change that to determinant. Okay, true, once the baby's born, right, already then, there's some sort of mazel predetermined. Again, all the Rishonim have to deal with this because the Gemaros in general are soteric. Right, we have a number of Gemaros. One is Ein Mazel Yisrael. Number two is Gemaros like this in Moed Katan and other places that suggest that there is a certain amount of predeterminants, a certain amount of mazel that comes in a person. Right, so you have to deal with how does, what is tefillah, if you say zchuto here means mazalot, then you have to say what does tefillah mean. That's
how,
correct.
How about making a choice between chutz la'aretz and eretz yisrael?
Chutz la'aretz, they live according to their mazel. It's very, very difficult to get away from that. And eretz yisrael, it's a state of mind. If you've got the right state of mind, and you can live according to the chutz la'aretz.
So there are, I wouldn't say it along, it's not exactly along your lines, which is the differentiation between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, but rather Rav Dessler, or Soloveitchik also, some along these lines, is that, in general, people's lives are predetermined, in the sense that the culture that you're born into, the social structure that you're born into, the family that you're born into, will have impact on how a person grows up. First, that a person is Shomer Shabbos, or whether a person has, you know, questions about being Shomer Shabbos, we determined again by the friendships, the societies, the families that they are born into. On the other hand, there are what's called pivot points in a person's life. There are times in a person's life where those decisions will determine what, where they will be or what environment they will be in. So what school they go to, right? Or, you know, where they go to live. Which community they pick to live in.
Who they marry.
Right? That may be a question for the guys. If that's already predetermined there, we have the Gemara in the beginning of Sota, which, right, might be questionable. But all these issues, right, there are not, in general, you really don't have a lot of choice. I mean, that a person's scale of choice, or the edge of choice, is really determined by its surroundings. Whether it's a person in Shomer Shabbos, for a lot of people, that's not a decision, because of the family or the community that they're born into. Right, but their questions for them about their challenges will be at a different point along the scale. That's where their decision points will be. And again, at certain points in their life where they choose to move or what they choose to do, well, again, then maybe confront them with the different choices. So like that may be what you're suggesting over here. This being Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, I'm saying that's not the exact difference, but that the environment that one places themselves into can also determine whether they're in a materialistic environment, whether they're in a more spiritual environment. That could make the questions or determinants about, you know, what their future will be or what their focus of their future will be. So those are other suggestions about solutions to the problem of like Rav Dessler, Rav Soloveitchik, go along those lines. Alright. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Reita miyamecha chaya ba'ok sheyesh lahem umenut. When's the last time you saw an animal that had a profession? V'hei mitparnasim shlo b'tzar. And they do just fine. Hey, they have no parnasa, they have no, you know, profession. V'alo lo nivru el Hashem sheni. And they, all the animals are only created to service me or take care of me. V'ani nivreitzi l'shemesh koni. And I was created to serve my master. It should be clear that I should, right, also be able to make a parnasa without a problem. But what? My actions caused the problems, meaning that the way I acted or what I did wrong caused me to lose my parnasa. He took away what would otherwise been or belonged to me. So again, I quote the famous Or HaChaim, we quoted it here once before, but the Or HaChaim in Parshat Mishpatim discusses the word tzedakah over there. It talks about whether a person should give money over to those that are poor. And the Or HaChaim questions the word tzedakah, which means tzedek. That, right? It means, sounds like, that it's just that you give the money back to the poor people. So Or HaChaim suggests over there that When it comes to a person getting pranasa, every person is given or allocated enough money to live and to have a pranasa. But some of that's changed, just like Rabbi, right, Shimon ben Elazar describes over here. That people over time or in life lose out that opportunity to get their pranasa. But it's not like that pranasa disappears into the ephemeral, goes into the air. And rather, that money is reallocated to someone else. And therefore, someone else will get enough pranasa for themselves, as well as other people's pranasa. And so the idea of tzaka and tzedek is returning the money, the pranasa, to those that it belongs to. And so that's the idea here. I did have a certain amount allocated to me, but I lost it. And that was given to someone else, according to Rav Chaim HaKadosh. And therefore, tzaka, the tzedek, the just thing to do, is return the money to who it really belongs to. To return it to those people that it really should have been there for us. And the only reason you're allocated more is so that you can give it back to those people that it belongs to.
This is about difficulty. What should we do?
Right, that's true. I was going with my brother last night. He asked me the same thing. He said, well, we're going to see a second. The Gemara is going to quote a different pasuk for this. The Gemara brings the price down and quotes a different pasuk for it. So you have to understand now that B'zeyat HaPefcha Tocha Lechem of the Adam HaRishon was a curse, right, that you have to work hard, maybe, or work a little bit. And that curse was really focused on Dama Rishon, and then we say by Noach, it was widened, the curse was widened in some way, and that curse is not as sin.
The
problem is that the Gemara does not, which would have been the easiest, just like, and also just over here, that the easiest quote that the Gemara could have bring, there was a bright, and the Gemara will see in a second, it should have quoted the Zeyat HaPechatul Chalecha, and it doesn't, it quotes the Pasuk from Yirmiyahu to prove this point. So from there, it's clear that the Gemara does not see the Atapecha as the source for this problem. Abba Gurion, Ish Tzadyan Omer, Mishum Abba Gurion, Lo Yilameda Damet Bno, Chamar, Gamal, Kadar, Sapan, Roeh, Vechavati, Sheumunatan, Umunut, Lisim. Right, that you shouldn't teach your child these professions because these professions always end up in stealing and robbery. So what are these professions? Let's go through. The chamar is a carrier, a donkey, you know, meaning that donkey carrier, that he carries stuff from short distances, you know, between cities or small areas.
Donkey Express.
Right? Gamal is a longer, right? The much further, that they travel through the desert and through longer traveling areas, right? Right? Kadar, right? I would have thought a kadar is somebody who makes pottery. But over here, now, Kadar is someone who, according to Rashi, is a wagon driver. Right? He drives wagons, again, probably over longer distances. Sapan is a sailor. Roeh is a right shepherd. Chinvani is a storekeeper. So what is the problem? What's the issue with all of these people? So Rashi quotes over here that the Chamar, Gamal, Sapan, and Kadar, all these who are traveling people, who do a lot of traveling, is one of them, he says, Kishalanim Midrachim, and when they camp on the way, and when they camp along the way, they end up entering people's fields, taking sticks for their fire, taking fruit off their fields. I mean, since they're found out in the fields at night, and that's where they're camping, they kind of marshal themselves. They permit themselves to take from what is otherwise other people's stuff. And the same thing with a roeh, right? Roeh beimot, right? They are go and they graze their animals in other people's fields. So that is one possibility with the problem.
About society at large, or Jewish people?
I would say society at large, and that because of that, because of this bad name or normal behavior of such professions, then don't encourage your child to go into these professions. There's going to be another opinion in the Mishnah in a second who disagrees. So you'll see that it's not so obvious that this is the case. And Rashi says, Chenvani, which is very interesting, again, I would have learned differently, is Mlumad Be'una'a. Right, that he generally has ona'ah, is that he cheats people in terms of pricing. Why is that? Rashi says because he puts water or rocks into the, he puts water into the wine, he dilutes the wine, or he puts rocks into the wheat in order to selling at larger quantities that don't really have that quantity of item. Meaning that there's incentive or reason for them to, right, cheat, on this. Now Rashi brings an additional reason for these professions that you shouldn't do, which is that all of them are rent themselves out. That these people are niskar, that they are hired or they are for hire. When they're for hire, they come or they add a number of tnaim, a number of conditions in their hire, and then they fail to keep up. in that when they're trying to sell themselves and say, oh yeah, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do that, and then they don't keep all those conditions. And therefore, that's why they're not a good profession, because they end up stealing not because of the other reasons Rashi gave, but stealing because they promised to do certain things, and they don't carry out those promises. Right, that's God bless you. So that's Rashi's explanation, right, over here, of these issues of professions. Now, the Gemara continues with the disagreement about this, or whether it's true. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo, Rabbi Yehuda quotes in the name of Ava Gurion, right, that Hachamim Ruban Rishayim. When it comes to Chamarim, most of them are Rishayim. That we don't do, because of this listiot, again, the thing that they steal, there's a lot of thievery involved. Hagmalim Ruban Kshirim. Because Gmalim, most of those are Kshirim. Vasapanim Ruban Chasidim. And sailors are mostly Chasidim. Now, what's the reason? The reason is because of the amount of danger that they encounter. I mean, Chamar just runs between the cities, right? So he doesn't feel in danger in general. And therefore, he doesn't promise people things, doesn't keep it up, he leads in other people's fields. On the other hand, the Gemalim are going over the deserts, long areas where there is no inhabitants. So they're afraid for their lives, both from robbers coming and rioters coming to them, as well as the possibility that they're going to be isolated. They're out in the desert, in the middle of the desert. So because of that, they dive into Hashem, right? They fear for their lives. And therefore, they break their hearts, and they look up to Akash Baruch Hu, and they beg Akash Baruch Hu to take care of them. And then the Sapanim, the same thing, the sailors in the time of, the Gemara, clearly, going out to sail out to sea was a very dangerous, like Yonah, right? That going out to sea was something where you really were taking your life into your own hands. And there was danger that was apparent and obvious to these Sapanim. They were the Chasidim, because they knew that every trip involved such danger, and therefore they look up to Akash Baruch Hu to help them. They act in a way that is positive, and they're afraid to be over Averot because of that. So he suggests, Rabbi Yehuda suggests the other possibility, that these professions are actually positive in the person's approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the fear factor which is going to lead them to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tov, Shibrofim, L'Gehinom. Right? The best of the doctors should go to Gehinom. Now again, this is explanation. I would have thought, again, there are possibilities here. Rashi brings down three different possibilities of why. Is in general, he says, that people are afraid of sickness. Right? People are afraid of sickness, whereas the doctor, who thinks he knows and knows the cures and understands the sickness, is less afraid of sickness. So because he's less afraid of sickness, therefore he doesn't see sickness as a punishment from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, as a fear from it enough to do better so that he doesn't get sick. And so that's one possibility of why Tov Shibrofim Gehinom. Second possibility is that Famim Shoreg Nefashot. There are times that he kills people, meaning that there's a certain amount of haughtiness to a doctor. Again, a doctor that is a doctor that acts or thinks that he knows what to do, right? And therefore he exercises or does something, and yet it ends up killing the person. So therefore they have blood on their hands in that sense. That's the problem with the doctor. The third possibility Rashi brings down, which is very, very, it's a big responsibility then of doctors. He says that sometimes there are poor people who need help, and the doctor doesn't help them. And that he expects to get paid, and because he's not getting paid, he doesn't necessarily avail himself to poor people, and therefore he's accountable for the death or the problems that the poor person is feeling because of this problem of Tov Shibrofim L'Gehinom. And again, that's Rashi brings these three possibilities down. And the other, that the Tosfos Riazakin and others really focus on this idea that Memitim Acholet, that they kill the those that are sick, meaning that they don't consult or they don't fear of dealing with life and death, and because they don't fear it, right, life and death then become something that's an everyday occurrence or something part of their profession, and they become inured or they become numb to life and death, and they're not as careful about these issues of life and death. Right, next is Vakasha Shetabachim Shutfo Shel Amalek. Right, the best of butchers is a partner to Amalek. Again, Rashi gives an explanation. I would have thought otherwise, and I thought the other Rishonim to give another explanation. Rashi says, Tobshe, that the Tabachim is because they have Tzveke Trefot, Ba'ot Le'yado. Many times they have a Tzveke, whether an animal is a Trefot or not. V'chatom Emono, and they worry about their money, right, U'machilan, and they give them out. They let them go. Right, we had that case in the Pitzkei Tshuva, right? This guy at the end of his life decided to let all these Trefot go because he wanted to collect his money. He was afraid already to not let them, to lose money. So again, they have a financial incentive to, right, in some sense, not be trusted, and therefore they're like Amalek. What does that have to do with Amalek? right? We know that in Parsha of Kitetze, where it has the Parsha of Malek, right before that is the Parsha of Midot, and there the Medrash brings down, right, that the connection, what's the connection between the Parsha of Midot and the Parsha of Malek? That if you cheat the Midot, if you cheat people out monetarily, that's what brings the Malek on you. So I think maybe that's what Rashi is after over here, that cheating in monetary matters, in these types of Ben Adam Lechaveiro matters, that's what brings the Malek, that's making the Shutof to a Malek. Now the simple explanation is the same as what we say in the Gemara in the end of the Shabbos, right? That someone who's born under the Magu Madim was going to be a butcher, a killer, or a, right, or a Moel. So that the dealing with blood or being involved with blood, that's what makes Meshutav Shalom Malek. Not that he's right, not that he's cheating people, but that desire or that ability to work with blood is something that makes him a Shutav Shalom Malek. And that the Tosfos Yazakin says, another Rishonim here says straight out, right, that the Yisum Mafarshish Shuminut Malamed is Malamdo Akzorios, teaches him to be, right, again, something there he's not as careful about life. After going to Shvem Akzari Varaka Malek, they have a certain amount of, right, distance or problem, you know, meaning that not they become inured to death and to blood because of that.
Anything you do can cheat people.
Right.
So, you know, when it keeps talking about being dishonest, you can do that.
Right, but certain professions have a preponderance of that problem. Mm-hmm. And that is that, you know,
mention hedge funds.
I'm saying, like, I use, you know, their reputations, used car salesmen. I mean, like, certain professions have a reputation that already precedes them. That's the equivalent in their day of a certain professions that had a overwhelming of people who entered these professions were not honest or were not as careful. I mean, I agree with you that every profession has it. Certain professions have a preponderance of that problem, or that almost everybody's in the profession acts in a manner that has that.
So the answer to the question doesn't think you've heard you saying, if you go into such and such a profession, have a desire mode, you know, like the, you know, be extra careful.
Challenges are too great. At least some of these dynamics are suggesting that certain professions, the challenges are just too great that we don't want you entering those professions. I mean, that the temptation is too great.
And yet, you know, that people are going to enter those professions anyway. And so it's practically like giving them an excuse. But, well, you know, I mean, I'm
kind of
funny. I can't be expected to be
honest. Right, here's here what a father should cheat. Teach his child, man. Which umanus should he teach his child? So here, the mission's giving suggestions about
where
these. Right, exactly. We're going to get to that. The Gemara in a second is going to say, like, similar to what you're saying, Shaul, that everybody's going to end up in a profession. So we'll see that in a second. But now, Omer, meniach ani kol umanus balam veni malamid et bni ela Torah. Give up all professions, only teach my child the Torah. Shadam uchel mitzkara balam azeh, get tzkar in this world, and karen kayem ala lam haba. Right, he has that which to look forward to in Olam Haba. V'shal kol umanus, ain't okay. Shadam bali day koli, oli day zikna, when he gets sick or old, oli day yisurin, or that he's unable to exercise his profession anymore. V'ini yachol lasuk v'm achtov, or who makes v'rav. He dies of starvation and poverty because he can't work anymore. Aval Torah, ain't okay. Right, that's ain't okay. It's not that way. El l'misham to mi kol ra, protects him. U'bin ha'uto, when he's young. V'no tenet lo acharit, v'tikva v'tiknudo, takes care of him when he's older. Naruto, when he's young, it says, what? Right, that those that are take care of Hashem with Hashem, they should be re-strengthened, they'll be given extra strength. Right, that they sit the old, when they're old, they'll sit comfortably and flourish. Again, you can't take this literally because you can get old learning Torah and still have no money or profession also. And obviously this means that the Schar of Torah is still with you, meaning that you don't lose it. And you can still carry that even when you're sick and unable to learn. Schar of Torah still stays with you as opposed to Schar of an Umanus, which is only available when you're actually doing that Umanus. Right? That is, Avram gets old and he's blessed with everything. Matzino, Shasav Ram Avinu Tkola Torah Kula, Ach Lo Yitnitna. As Avram kept the whole Torah before it was given, Shnemar, Ekev Shashmasha, Avram Bikuli, Vishmar, Mishmati, Mitzvotai, Chukutai, Bitorotai. So Torotai, again, the Medrash interprets over here that it means Torah, that Avram Avinu actually kept Kola Torah Kula, and that the Gemara is suggesting, Avram Zakin, Vashem Barach, Avram Bakol, is the result of keeping Kola Torah Kula. Whether this was a part of the Mishnah or not is questionable. This might have been appended to the Mishnah, because this memra is found in other places. It's quoted in other Gemaras, in Yoma, but there it's quoted as a memra de Rav. It's quoted in the name of Rav. And that's, clearly Rav is an Amora, so it has to be a memra of the Amora. So whether this was a later appendage to the Mishnah, meaning that they took Rav's memra and they appended it on because it fit well, or whether this is really that Rav was quoting a member of Tanoim, and it's whether Rav is Tano Polig, or that Rav is already classified as a Tano in certain places, that you have to reconcile between this Mishnah and the fact that Rav is an Amor, is quoting an exclusive Mishnah, and it's quoted in his name. Alright, Tano Rabbanan. Kol Shetakavim Menashim Tsuro Rav. Right, so anybody who is, when he works with women, right, he has a bad way about him, right? He acts in a bad manner. Kagon, who is this? Hatsorfim, right? The Tsorfim are what? Are metallurgists, meaning people who are smelters, but here Rashi says that they're jewelers. Vatsrikim, these are people who comb, the women's clothing, right? They have a nukurot. Nukurot are people who drill holes, but it seems to be that they were drilling holes in hand mills. Handmills needed either, I don't know if it's the center hole to put the stone on the mill, or the mill itself, as it wore down from use, you had to come back and make holes or chips in it so that it would still grind again. It's either way that they're available, and who uses the handmill is the woman, right? The women, so therefore he's always, you know, around the women. But Rochlim are the sellers of perfume. Vagardim are weavers. Vahasaparim, barbers. Barbers again, because the women bring their children to the barber to get their haircuts, and therefore the women again are exposed to him. Vakubsim, right, the launderers. Vagara. Gara over here is a mekizam, is a blood letter. Vabalan is the bath keeper, the bathhouse keeper. Vabruski is the tanner. Again, these are, they make skins for wearing and for clothing. So all of these professions have a overexposure to women, in a sense. So that's the problem, that they are becoming what we call umanut ashatakavim anashim. Right, so these are things that the others have. There is a different gear than the Arachal, a Borsi, which is also not Borski, but rather a Borsi, which would be a different profession, not, as you're saying, that maybe tanners were not exactly appealing to women, and that we see that in other words, it marks to both, that a woman can be married to a Borski. She says, I thought I could have dealt with this, or she's a Yivama. She could say, I dealt with your brother, but I can't deal with you, and the smell was so bad. So, like Shaul is suggesting that Burski may not be the proper. Lo Melech, Velo Kohen Gadol. These professions, you cannot make a king or a Kohen Gadol out of these professions, my taima. Lo Shum Tipsile, not, so you would have thought because they're Psulim, because of the problems that they're having. Elo Mishum Tzil, Amunutayo. These are considered to be lowly professions. Since they're lowly professions, therefore they're not appropriate to appoint a king or a Kohen Gadol from these professions. Right, Tan Rabbanan. Surat Devarim Nemru Begara. 10 things are said about a bloodletter. Malechal Tzido, or Bekomaz Kufa, which probably fits better. Ruach Katsa, Benitla Yoshev. These three items are that they conduct themselves in a manner of haughtiness. Meaning that because people need them, bloodletters, they feel important, and therefore they act in a manner that is of self-importance, aggrandizement, right, haughtiness. Again, is that they walk with a komat skufa, that they're haughty, they have ruach katzad, when they sit down, they brace themselves to sit down. I mean, all these are mannerisms that are indicative of a certain level of haughtiness. Ve'eno tzara, again, that he doesn't want to spend any money, because he's usually eating by others. I mean, that there's the Gemara says in other places that when someone has blood letting, they should have a big meal afterwards. So since he's going over all these people who are making these big meals to this, he's always eating on someone else's tab. Right? Then ve'eno ra'a, and on top of that, he is, right, he has a bad eye, meaning that evil eye in the sense that anybody's healthy, he wants them to get sick, so they'll need his, right, his services. Ochal arbe umotikim a, right, he eats a lot, and doesn't have a lot to come out of him. Why? Because he's eating all this good food. He eats lechem naki, bokseh shemein, which the Gemara seems to be healthy foods, which are white bread and right, fat meat. Again, right, obviously today that's viewed differently. Right, b'chashud, not necessarily, b'chashud al arayot is questions about the arayot, again, because and the women need his services, right, and he is involved with women a lot. Right, b'ala gezel, and from stealing, right, this is a very interesting explanation of stealing. Rashi says, she'nashim guzlot mibaleh menotim lo. The women steal for the husbands in order to get his services. They like to go to a plastic surgeon, right, they take their husband's money, they run off to go get these services without their husband's permission. Vashvichut damim. And again, that he is suspect of shvichut damim. Rashi says here, because he'll bloodlet too much, and by letting out too much blood, that will cause the patient to die. So again, all of these associated with a bloodletter, I don't know, possibly with a surgeon, might have the same characteristics, I don't know, but these are These are definitely not such nice descriptions of this profession. So we saw that in the Mishnah. My heat. What is numinat zigagaya? I'm a Rav Yehuda, a machker de talmuta. Certain types of stitching or weaving that had a unique, that they were stitching a ladder. It was a nice type of stitching. It's something that's easy, doesn't take a lot of effort, work, and you can do it at home, 9 to 5. All right, so Tanya, this is a very amazing thing. Rabbi Omer.
Weavers is one of the things that was
before, right, so this was unique. It's a machsher shel talmuta. It's a very unique type of weaving. And that was kind of an art, right, that it was something that a special classification, not someone who dealt with everyday people, necessarily. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, in the chumunut shu overet min olam. Something show, this is what you had mentioned a little bit before. There are professions in the world, and no profession disappears. They have to be distributed. Every person has to end up with a profession. Ashreish Mishuret Horav Bimunut Meula. It's wonderful as a person who sees his parents involved in a good profession, meaning a clean, easy profession. Although Mishuret Horav Bimunut Pugma. That, woe is the one who sees his parents, or again, whether it's parents, his children, in such a field of endeavor that is, right, less appealing. Right, person who makes perfume, right, the world can't do without them. It's a nice field of endeavor, always smell nice. Right, but oh, Burski. And again, on the other hand, right, it comes with a tanner, right, that it's a, like,
the good smell,
right, the bad smell, and somebody has to be a Burski, and somebody has to be a Bosem. And it's nice for the person who is, ends up being the Bosem and not the Burski. Again, that the, again, all professions are going to be around, everybody's going to be allocated a profession, you know, good be the person who ends up with a nice profession. This is obviously a much more controversial statement, and that they have to be males and females. Ashmish bonav zcharim, blessed is the one who has male children and not female children. The Gemara has this in different places. I'm not going to venture to explaining it over here, but there is definitely a view in the Gemara of being ma'adiv zcharim over nekevot. Rabbi Meir Omer, lo la mi lamed adam lubno umanut nikiya v'kala. A person should teach his child an easy or good profession, and then daven, right? Why? Poverty, success, right, and wealth, failure have nothing to do with your profession. They all have to do. They come from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shenema, right? Li chesef, li zav, nu'um, Hashem tzvakot. Right, again. Right, that has to do, in the hands of Hashem is the kesef and the zahav. It has nothing to do with the profession, but rather to do with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Shimon Lazar Omer, Im Ra'ita Miyamecha, again, they quoted this from the mission, the price is going to say a similar thing. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Lazar Omer, Miyamai Lo Ra'iti Tzvi Kayetz, never saw a tzvi that is out drawing fruit. Rabbi Saval, and a porter that was in the lion, Rishua Chenvani, or a fox, that is a storekeeper. Right, that they don't worry about getting their food. They who were to service me have an easy living. I surely should have an easy profession. Ella, it's my size, my actions, my behavior hurt me. I lost my pranasa. So this is where, right, this is where they should have quoted the Zeta Pachatok Alechem, and that's not what it says. As you never have an Otechem, he too. That their sins caused them to be off the derech, or caused them to have all this bad come out. So they quote the Pasuk from Yirmiyahu, and not the Pasuk from the Torah. And therefore you see that the Gemara's interpretation of Zeta Pachatok is not necessarily, right, meaningful in this context. Right, Rabbi Nirai Omer, Meniach Ani, Kolomunut Shabbatara, and I learned Torah instead. Tanya, Rabbi Narai Omer, Meniach Ani Kol Umenut Shebalam. Beni Melamidet Bnei La Torah. Shukol Umenut Shebalam. Enu Meret Lo Elu Bimei Yalduto. Protect when he's young. Lo Bimei Ziknuto Arei Mutal Biraav. Lo Torah Enu Kein. Enu Meret Lo Ladam Beit Yalduto. But Atena Lo Acharit Vitikva Beit Ziknuto. Gives him something. Means schar. When he's still older, even when he's still not able to learn, that which he learned in his earlier life will still stay with him and protect him and take care of him. As well as if he taught students, right, that will also be a zchut on his behalf. Right, that they will have strength and renewed strength, and they will grow wings or like the eagles. Right, that they will be fruitful when they are old. They will flourish and be fresh. And referring to the tzaddikim, those that learned Torah. Sefer Kedushin. Tomorrow we'll start with Baba Kama.